my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Bedlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is episode 424 to be broadcast on Wednesday, December 18th, 2024 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's working. I couldn't do this yesterday. It's a long story. But anyway, we're doing it right now. And I know it's a weird part of the day for those of you who are on Facebook Live. What the heck is Ron doing on now? Well, long story. We'll get to that. Bicycle Talk's a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to share information or contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live, you can always put something right down here below in the comments section, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's rant of a week. Here we go. A deep dive into Toronto's ridiculous new anti-bike lane law. There's a crazy guy there. His name is Doug Ford. All right. Doug Ford is the Ontario premier, and he's crazy. He's just crazy. I'll talk a little bit more about it in the show when we get there, but he's just like, I don't understand the pro car thing in Canada. Get it together, Canada. Come on, you guys. You guys are supposed to be really proactive and really cool and very European, and this guy is from the Netherlands originally. You'd think he'd know better. Anyway, big shout at Premier Doug Ford, because he's being an idiot, and I'm going to call him out on the show, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But let's move on to the positive side. It was the U.S. Nationals. Yay! The U.S. National Cyclocross Championships were this past weekend in Louisville, and it was really, really great. Hey, Kev, how you doing? It was great. We had some amazing local successes. I'm going to get to that later on in the show. I'll be shouting out a few people that we had that did really, really well from this area. Once again, cyclocross is alive and kicking in New England, and there's lots of fun stuff going on. So anyway, I will get to that, because that was a big highlight, and I got a chance to watch some of it over the weekend, because I'm one of those people that actually has a subscription to Flow Bikes. So I can see things like that and an occasional weird UConn Huskies women's game because they were on Flow Sports. Who knows? Long story, crazy thing trying to get the things that you really want to watch these days. It seems like you have to have a subscription to everything these days. It's nuts. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little more in the show. Mechanical Minute and Ron's Tip of the Week. So I went on a mission to search out and see how Eddie Merckx was doing, because if you remember last week, I reported that Eddie had crashed his bike. And, you know, he's 79 years old, and he went down hard, and, you know, he hurt himself. So anyway, as I went there to look at that, what did I find? I found that Eddie Merckx, who has won 5 Tour de Frances, 5 Tours of Italy, and numerous other trophies, and yet he and his doctors knew full well that he had potentially a very dangerous form of congenital heart disease called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. His electrocardiogram is known to be markedly abnormal, and the team cardiologist was aware that he had this potentially fatal condition. Furthermore, many of his close relatives, including his father, had died of sudden cardiac death. So, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Eddie is 79 years old. He's still alive. And he did some of the most incredible things going on. So what is my my tip of the week? My tip of the week is, bottom line, ride your bike. It really could save your life. And I'll move right directly into that, because it's time to talk a little bit about heart disease. Heart disease is a thing. It's a thing we talk about on this show. Why do we talk about it on this show? We talk about it because I am one of those. I am one of those guys that, according to my surgeon and my cardiologist, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here talking to you today. So why am I here talking to you today? I'm here talking to you today because I ride my bicycle. And my bicycle literally, as my surgeon said, saved my life. He said, you saved your own life. And he said, when he looked at me, now this has been 3 years now since I had my open heart surgery. And for those of you who are new to Bicycle Talk and have not heard this before, then I'll fill you in. For those of you who had, sorry about that. I'm going to talk about it some more because it's kind of a big deal. And it's a real big deal in my life. And it's a really big deal in a lot of people's lives that I ride with. There's a lot of folks out there that are alive and kicking because they ride their bicycles. So I like to talk about this at length because it's a thing. So let's go back to Eddie Merckx. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that if someone with Merckx's condition were tested today, he or she would be disqualified from all competitive sports because of the high perceived risk of a sudden cardiac death. Yet Merckx is still with us, and his heart's still ticking, 79 years of age. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not always, I don't know how to put this. I just had some testing done because I'm still having a lot of problems with my legs, and I can't figure out why I can't get my legs to get beyond the point of warming up, and they feel horrible, and I feel really bad, and I can't climb hills, and it's really discouraging to me, but we're checking off boxes, and we're working our way down to try to figure it out. And the last thing I had tested was I had the blood pressure in my legs tested, both unloaded and loaded in comparison to the rest of my body, to make sure that I was having blood flow down there, because that was a concern. Maybe I'm just not getting oxygen to the legs and that's why they hurt so bad. But that's not it. And that's the good news. The good news is my cardiovascular system and my veins and arteries are A-okay from the waist down. So that's a good thing. That's a really good thing because I had the major blockage in my heart, so I was concerned about it. That's why I wanted to find out what's going on. So we're moving on to another idea, which I will fill you in on as soon as I get information back on that. And I will certainly share it with you. We've got a couple of different avenues that I'm looking at right now. In the meantime, I'm going to continue to ride my bike. Problem is that my bike riding has been reduced to very, very flat surfaces. I spend, of course, a lot of time on the spin bikes at the local gym because I teach a lot of classes. But I can regulate that. I can regulate how much effort I can put out. Unfortunately, the effort I can put out is about zone 2 in my heart rate, which is not lovely. I can see zone 3 a little bit occasionally, not great. And zone 4 is no longer anything that I can truly experience because my legs just won't let me go there. It's too severe. It's weird. I don't know any other way of explaining it, but it's weird. But we're going to figure it out because I am not I'm not looking for a Band-Aid here. I'm looking for a solution. And I want to continue to ride my bike in the manner of which I am accustomed to. And I'll get there. I got Franny on my side. She's awesome. She's got all sorts of great information. I get to hear both the MD side of it and the ND side of it. So I've got good information coming from both ends, and I've got testing coming out from both ends. So we'll figure it out, but it is truly a mystery at this point. Who knows? I don't know. And I'm not falling into, well, Ron, you know, you're getting old. Maybe that's what it is. That is not a viable answer. Not going there. As I got off the phone earlier today with my 98-year-old friend who is still riding his bicycle. Just not going there. Plus, there's also something in Nationals, which I'll mention when I get to the National Cyclocross. My friend Joe Sailing from New Jersey, he's still racing his bike, and he's in his 80s. So I'm just not ready to, you know, to toss in the I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to quit yet. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about it, and my adventure will go on, and I will continue to broadcast it here on this podcast and this radio show. And, you know, hopefully I can be of help to somebody who is running through the same thing. I've had so many people reach out to me once they hear this show, and they go, wow, you know, I listen to your show, and I have a similar issue, and, you know, my doctor told me, forget about it, you're just getting old, and you're not going to be able to do the things you used to do anymore, and that's just the way of life, and you need to accept it. And they go, I'm with you, I don't agree with that, I don't want to go there. So anyway, I'm not going there. Just so you know, I'm not going there. So we're going to further explore this and see what happens and continue to get information from the medical field as to the solution to the current problem. And it might be caused by a number of different things, including a possible pharmaceutical cause, but, you know, I'm not going to point any fingers until I get the true results. So we will move on. So let's talk a little bit more about that darn heart and what the heck is going on. Because, you know, riding your bike is just such a great thing. And we should all just ride our bikes. And so let's look at, let's see here, where is it? The heart of a cyclist. I got a few things here. Why cycling is good for you, and the top 10 health benefits of cycling. Simple, right? Seems good. It's heart disease is a major cause of death when it's compared to other lifestyle diseases. Younger people are at the higher risk of heart disease due to obesity and high blood pressure. So there's that going on. We've got horrible lifestyle disorders in our world here in the Western world. And, you know, we eat lousy food and low quality food, I guess I will say. It's not lousy food. It's just low quality food. It's mass produced, just like everything else in the United States, and it tends to not be the greatest thing for you to be relying on. So you are what you eat. Remember that one more time. You are what you eat. When you eat a bunch of crap, guess what you turn into? Need I say more? So it is super, super important that you watch your nutrition and watch your nutrition carefully. If you have the ability to get a genetic test to find out what it is that your body is better with and not better with, I wouldn't think twice about that. As a matter of fact, that's probably another avenue I'm going to go for. I figured my information could be... It doesn't matter who it's shared with at this point in my life, because, you know, I'm 39 years old with 30 years of experience. So, you know, I don't really care. But I think that is going to be a thing to check into. I think I will look at into some sort of a genetic test here. Let's see what I am predisposed to. And, you know, I'll let Fran figure it out. I'll let her sort it out. That's her thing. That's her game. My game is fixing her bike. Her game is fixing people. So anyway, we'll see. So this happened, you know, fitness is like a real passion for a lot of us. And I'm not saying that I really just love to work out. I really don't. I'm actually not really a super enthusiastic fitness person. But I really do like to ride my bike. And as Fran always says, what is the best exercise to do? And the best exercise to do is the one you'll do. Very simple, right? Sure, sounds simple. My exercise to do is my bike. And one day when riding my bike, I discovered that I was pretty good at it. So I took it a little further and I went on and I raced my bike and I rode my bicycle across the country. I did all sorts of fun things on my bicycle. And my bicycle has just taken me to all sorts of great places in my life. And so it's a good thing. Hence, here we are on a radio show and podcast called Bicycle Talk, because I like to share my enthusiasm with people. So over-exercising, it could produce a problem if you're not careful. Balance, folks, balance. It's all about balance. You don't want to go a little too deep in one direction where you could hurt yourself. So you have to be a little bit careful about that. But anyway, let's look at what the way you can reduce heart disease. By the way, heart disease, not cancer, is the number one killer of people here in the United States. Yeah, I know. You think it's cancer because you always hear about somebody who has cancer. They have cancer here, they got there, they have this type of cancer, that type of cancer, all these different things. But the number one killer in the United States is heart disease. Yes, it is heart disease. So what do you do about that? Number one, you eat a healthy, balanced diet. Did I say balance earlier? I think I did. It's recommended to eat a low-fat, high-fiber diet, which includes plenty of fresh fruit, vegetables, and whole grains. And, you know, be careful about the type of fruit and vegetables you eat. The non-organic variety tends to have something to keep it looking pretty and fresh in the grocery store. So I just am a little skeptical about that. My vegetables, when I'm buying my vegetables, especially this time of year, because it's winter up here in Connecticut, so, you know, we don't get the best looking vegetables coming through, but I do know that they aren't sprayed, they aren't chemically induced in any way to look lovely in the grocery store. They're just fresh. And as fresh as they can possibly be by a truck that carries them from wherever. Because my local farms are starting to dry up as far as fresh produce goes. And, you know, there's still a few things out there. There's some winter things out there. There's still good winter squash available and other things. So things that keep over the winter. But we tend to try to eat a lot more organically if we can, because that way you're not susceptible to the chemical influences of the food industry. Give up smoking. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a no-brainer. There is a major risk of heart failure when you are atherosclerosis if you are a smoker. So if you're smoking cigarettes, you might want to think twice about that one, because that's not really a good thing. Now, if you ride your bike a lot, the smoking won't be a problem because you just won't be able to do it. It's just too difficult, and it's going to, you know, enhance and, well, it's going to really hang an anchor on your breathing. So that's not really good. Limit your alcohol consumption. Excessive alcohol consumption can result in high blood pressure, heart failure, and stroke. Increase your physical activity. That's why we ride our bicycles. Okay. In order to maintain a healthy weight, you should combine a healthy diet with regular exercise. This is all like kind of the same thing we've heard so many times over and over again, but this is why we're talking about it today. I know it's the same thing you've heard from your doctor. It may be the same thing you've heard from your significant other, maybe your friends who are like crazy about their cycling or their running or their whatever it is that they do. But as you cycle, your heart rate rises and your blood pumps around your body, burning calories, which limits your chances of becoming overweight. It is therefore recommended by the National Health Service as a healthy way to reduce your risk of developing major heart illnesses like heart disease and cancer. Aerobic exercise like cycling is excellent for maintaining a healthy heart. Among these, cycling is the best aerobic activity because your heart, your blood vessels, and your lungs all get a workout. As a result, you're going to breathe deeper, perspire more, and experience an increase in body temperature, which will improve your level of fitness. According to reports, regular cycling reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease and improves your overall health. Cycling for an hour can burn between 250 and 700 calories per hour, depending on the intensity and the rider weight. Remember, you're going to burn more if you're heavier. You're going to create more wattage if you're heavier. It's not uncommon. But why is cycling better than going to the gym? Well, depending on where you live, it's better if you can get outside and get some fresh air. It's always great. Breathing fresh air is a wonderful thing, better than the gym, because the gym is going to have, filtered air, whatever it is that they're going to be using to cool or heat it. So you got to deal with that. But the fresh air and the nature that you experience when you're outdoors is just worth it in its own. One of my favorite things is when I'm in the summertime, when I get up really early in the morning and I ride my bike up to the gym to teach my class, is riding outside when there's no cars and it's just a little before the sun comes up. And just when the sun starts to rise, all the birds come out and you get to hear them. And the smells that you get when everything is just kind of coming alive and awake for the day, there's nothing like it. I don't know how to describe it any better than that. It's just an experience that I think it's good. So you can save time and effort, and you don't have to rely on, hiring a trainer, although you can hire a coach if you want to get really crazy into it. You can do that. Or you can just go out and ride your bike. Smell the flowers, listen to the birds, find a nice quiet road to ride on. It's really, really fun. Or maybe you're more of an off-road person, so you get a mountain bike and you ride in the woods and you ride on nice trails or dirt roads. There's just so many things that you can do to satisfy yourself when you're out riding on your bicycle. And the studies say that the effects of cycling on cardiovascular health are obviously very, very good. Several scientific studies have shown that cycling reduces your risk of heart disease. There's a study that was discovered that 15% fewer heart attacks for regular cyclists than non-cyclists. That's a pretty 15%. It's a pretty big number. Research has also found that even a small time spent on cycling activity reduces the risk of heart disease. Cycling is great for all fitness levels. It can be particularly beneficial for those who are overweight or have joint muscle problems. You can talk to any runner about that. By the way, you know what they call old runners? Cyclists. That's an old Ron joke. It's been going around for a long, long time, but it comes from reality. A lot of my old running friends, when I was running a lot, they're all on bikes now because, their legs said, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. Their lower back said, oof, I don't want to do that anymore. So they moved over and graduated to a bicycle where they can still get great aerobic activity and not do so much harm to themselves. So according to reports, between 3.2 million and 5.3 million people worldwide die each year because they do not get enough physical activity. Physical activity lowers the risk of many heart problems, including heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer, and depression. The research, this was from an English report in Leeds, found that areas where walking and cycling to work were more common, the incidence of heart attacks decreased in both men and women. That's an interesting fact. Big cities like New York and like Boston and like Chicago and Los Angeles and San Francisco, they have healthier people because people walk more, because that's kind of the way you get around. When I went out to see my son in Chicago a couple weeks back, that's all we did. When we got there, we didn't rent a car. We just got on the train. And my son met us at the airport. We hopped on the train, took us back to his apartment. That's how we got around. We never even thought about using a car. Didn't even call an Uber. We just walked or transported ourselves by public transportation to get wherever we wanted to get. And that was it. And the coolest thing about Chicago was there is a road that runs kind of diagonally across Chicago, and it's got a protected bike lane, which is kind of cool because it can get you where you need to go, and then there's different arteries that go off of that, which will help you. So this is all good for your heart. And that's the thing. Cycling is one of the most popular exercises for people of all ages because of its low impact. And it's engaging. It's fun. It's just something that you did when you were a kid. And you can still be a kid if you want to be. I refuse to ever grow up, so I will always be a kid. So that's the way it's going to have to be. So aerobic activities such as cycling can regularly can prevent or delay the development of high blood pressure or reduce it in some ways. So we're going to have to have a minor interruption there. They'll go to voicemail. Sorry about that, folks. It helps increasing the ratio of good cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, or bad, and reduces bad cholesterol. So that's good. And improves lung ventilation and efficiency. So when you cycle regularly, it's really, really great. There's other benefits, like it improves your mental health. Big time, big time, big time. Part of the reason why I ride my bike is for right up here. It just puts me in a place of happiness, and it makes it so that when I hop on my bicycle, I can get out and I can just relieve myself of all my other thoughts and cares, which is really wonderful. It also releases endorphins, which are feel-good hormones, and they help you relax and feel better. Boosts your mood, reduces anxiety, strengthens your immune system, on and on, helps you lose weight. There's just so many different things. And of course, at the bottom of the list here is that it can help reduce the risk of cancer, mainly because of all these definite things that you're doing. You'll even improve your sleep quality with cycling. So that's another good thing. It's going to save you some time. It's going to save you money because you could use it for transportation. It improves your hand-eye coordination by keeping the handle on the cycle in line with what you see ahead. It improves reflexes and body balance. And cycling is also environmentally friendly. And that morning ride, like I said earlier, it really can boost your mood and really make your day go a lot better. So there's a whole bunch of reasons here as to why riding your bicycle is good for you and why cycling in general is good for you. So we're going to go back and take a look at what else I have on the list here today, because there's always lots of things on the list. And we will... I'm going to go back and just chit-chat for a few minutes about this crazy man up in Toronto, where is he? He's in Ontario. His name is Doug Ford. He's the premier of Ontario, and he just is not being real smart. And so the folks at Streets Blog just... they just focused on him. And if you want to see the video that they did, I have posted it on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. So you're welcome to go over there and click on that and check out. There's a really cool video there, and it's the subtitle here is, "This selfish, entitled suburbanite is willing to let people die for the hope of shaving a few minutes off of his commute." Is that not the truth of the car-centric world that we live in? So he's championed a controversial new bike law, and he's making headlines on both sides of the border with the so-called Reduced Gridlock Saving You Time Act, which will make it harder for cities in the Great White North equivalent of a state to build bike lanes. The bill will even require Toronto to rip up some of its most beloved existing paths. Now, he's a mega popular urbanist vlogger and Ontario native. Wait a second. Let me go back up. This is what the video is by. It's by Ontario native Jason Slaughter of Not Just Bikes is unpacking why the policy is a terrible idea before anyone else tempted to imitate it. It is a little bit of a long watch, but it is on my Facebook page, so you might want to check the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. It's worth a watch. I like a lot of the stuff that Jason does because he's a not just bike guy. You know, he's got different ideas, and yet bicycles seem to be a forefront of what he does. So anyway, check it out. And oh my God, let's hope this doesn't happen in your backyard, because it's just a terrible thing. And we will move on and look at some other things that I have listed here for the show. I'm going to go back to the heart, because what I wanted to talk about was I had mentioned last week that Eddie Merckx had a crash on his bike. And he just slipped out going around a corner. It happens. Who knows whether he hit sand? We don't really know what happened. But Eddie's comment was, "Next time I will ride with training wheels." Eddie Merckx, he's going to get a total hip replacement after his crash. And he is definitely arguably, or maybe not even arguably, the best pro rider ever. That he said he was scared after his fall on Monday, but he would be back on his bike soon. So he's getting total hip replacement because he must have fractured his hip on the way down. Because you know what? It happens when you get older, you get a little bit more brittle. And so these things happen. And he'll be back on an indoor bike after receiving a total hip replacement. And that was maybe the last Tuesday or this Tuesday. No, this was 7 days ago. So it was last Tuesday. The operation took place after he crashed while training near his Mechelen in Belgium. On the railway in Hombeek, my rear wheel suddenly slid away, Merckx told him. I fell on my hip and I couldn't get up. I was in the road alone by bike. Fortunately, a few bystanders had remained. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster. And he says, "I was scared, yes." Those attending to him called an ambulance, which brought him to a hospital. Merckx had then requested to be transferred to the Is St. Elizabeth Hernials Hospital, as Professor Dr. Stephen Clays is there. He and his brother, Dr. Tom Clays, are very experienced surgeons who have operated on many professional riders, including Remco Evenepoel and Wout van Aert. Merckx suffered a fracture in his fall. The hospital released a statement about his injury plus the procedure. He suffered a displaced fracture to the right hip. It was typical and common fracture of the so-called femoral neck, he said. As a treatment, Dr. Mike, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name, and Dr. Stephen Kleiss placed a total hip prosthesis this afternoon in AZ Hern Rentals, which the damaged hip joint was replaced by means of muscle sparing technique called the direct anterior approach. The operation went very smoothly, and a full recovery is expected for Eddie Merckx, who will now stay in a hospital for at least one night to recover from the procedure. Wow, just like that. And he says, the pain is not too bad. So he says he's feeling much better, and that the operation went really well, and he can't wait to get back on his bike, because that's what Eddie Merckx does. He still rides his bike. Full recovery takes several months, but unfortunately for Eddie Merckx, cycling is an excellent rehab. But fortunately for Eddie Merckx, cycling is an excellent rehab activity that is allowed in just a few weeks. So he had a testing year. In March, he underwent emergency surgery after a ball obstruction occurred. And so, you know, he's had other things that have happened. He was in the news for other reasons. July, his all-time Tour de France record of 34 stage wins was surpassed by Mark Cavendish. And in September, he appeared to say that Tadej Pogačar was a better rider than him before then walking back on the comments. But Merx is now 79 years old. He's in great humor. And look, he's in great health. And he will come back. And that is really cool. So that's my Eddie Merx update. We will keep our eyes on this and continue to talk more about it. So this brought me to a little bit more deep dive into the heart of a cyclist, because, you know, cycling is this thing that I'm obviously very passionate about. I've obviously had a major, major event in my life. I did not have a heart attack, but I had some serious blockages that should have left me dead on the side of the road somewhere, but I'm still here. And much to your pleasure and or not, but I am still here, and I am still here to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it a lot because it was really, really, really a traumatic experience for me. And I feel very, very fortunate to be able and privileged to be able to be here today to talk about this. I had amazing doctors. I had an incredible surgeon who was truly fascinated by what he was working on, being me, being the subject me. He was very encouraging of the exercise that I've done my entire life and the end result that he got to experience when he worked on me. So It's cycling is considered a sport of high dynamics as well as high static stress. This causes the cardiovascular system of cyclists to adapt in some major ways. In fact, there is some data to show that cyclists have the biggest hearts among athletes. Aw. Not to tell Franny that. She should know that. Anyway, besides having larger hearts, and I have had that comment made, because when I had my echocardiogram done, the technician said, "Wow," she said, your heart is like, it's really, really big." But she said, not in a bad way. She said, "It's really like beautiful the way it is." And because I built it up, it's a muscle. It's a muscle, just like any other muscle. You take a weight, you go back and forth like this with a heavy weight, and your bicep gets bigger. Or if you're me, it never gets bigger, but it gets stronger. everybody's built different. But your heart does get bigger because it is a muscle, and it will get larger with the amount of use you give it. So if you give it daily use, it's going to really maintain itself well, as are your lungs too. So this is all really, really good thing. The influence of body size, sex, and ethnicity on the normal adaptive changes you can expect to see among well-trained cyclists and athletes. And you will find that the most impressive historical example is that of Eddie Merx, probably one of the greatest road cyclists of all times. So Eddie had this disease called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And you know, I mean, his dad died of a sudden cardiac arrest. And, you know, yet here it is. You know, he was able to build his heart up, and that has been the least of his problems over the years. So it's really kind of cool. But if, you know, you were tested today, your cardiologist might have a recommendation or two about not doing the things that you're doing. Mine always has recommendations. I listen somewhat to what he has to say, but I also know what brought me here. I know what saved my life, and I am not going to give up on that by any means. So it's ride your bike. It really could save your life. You know, that's why I say at the end of every show, it's all true, and it's something I really believe in. And, you know, I'm here talking about it because I have had that experience. My surgeon, when he was working on me, I was just relaying the story today, he said that he normally takes a couple of hours or so to do the procedure they did. He removed actually an artery from my arm. We have two, so I still have one in there. He removed an artery from my arm and used that for the repair around my heart, and I had a quadruple bypass. So he felt it was a better decision to use that artery than to use a vein because of my level of work and intensity on my bicycle and cardiovascular workouts that I would do. So he felt this would be a better thing for me to do, or to make it so that I could continue my lifestyle. And he said that he spent a little bit longer on me than he normally did on most of his patients. And I was extremely concerned, asked him why. And because, you know, when you hear that, you go, uh-oh, there was a problem, right? There must have been a problem in there. And he said, no, no problem at all. He said, your heart is just magnificent, his words. And he said, I was just in awe of what I was working on. So this is why you ride your bike, okay? And it's never too late. You can always pick up a bicycle and start now. If you haven't had a bicycle for a long time, it may take a little bit of getting used to, but guess what? You can get on the bike at any time, and off you go. So it's highly encouraged. That's why we have Bicycle Talk. That's why I talk about it all the time. It's a lovely thing. And I just wanted to pass that on to folks here again. Okay, let's see. I got a couple other things. There's 10 things that you didn't know about Eddie Merckx, the cannibal. Eddie Merckx, he is the nickname the cannibal for his physical condition to run into different cycling disciplines. And he won the Road Cycling World Championship 3 times, the Giro d'Italia 5 times, the Tour de France 3 times, and in 1 Tour of Spain, and also 5 times, 5 cycling monuments, the Tour of Flanders, Milan San Remo, Paris-Roubaix, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, and the Giro de Lombardie. 74, he won the Triple Crown, the greatest achievement of any cyclist can achieve. Win the Tour de France, the Giro d'Italia, and the Cycling World Cup in the same year. Achievement that very few have been able to match. So, Eddie was a big deal. And so just as you know, just because we'll go through a little bit. He was born in 1945. June 17th, 1945, and in a province located in the Flanders region of Belgium. His parents ran a greengrocer in the Wolver, Saint-Pierre neighborhood of Brussels. So they moved there when Eddie was very young. On several occasions, the ex-cyclist mentioned that he was raised in a humble and simple environment in which he and his two brothers appreciated during their childhood the will, perseverance and hard work with which parents built their business. These characteristics were inherited by the ex-cyclist from his father, who was always encouraging him to bet on what he wanted to do without rest. So he got his first bicycle at the age of 8, and that's kind of close to when I got mine. I think I was right around 8. Anyway, he was passionate about cycling. His parents bought him a secondhand road bike, which he would start touring his city side to side. And at that time, he was motivated by the impeccable career of Stan Akkers, a Belgian cyclist who had won several stages of the Tour de France, won the green jersey twice before dying from a fall. Did you know that he was a bad student in school? He was not a great lover of school. Therefore, he took refuge in all the sports that were offered there, tennis, soccer, basketball. He had grades that made him drop out of school at a very young age, confront his father on several occasions, who, despite not liking the idea, supported his decision to follow and bet on what his passion was, which was racing and cycling. And he started his real cycling career, his racing career, when in 1961, when he was 16 years old, he participated in his first bike race in Belgium, and he received his first victory 3 years later in the Amateur World Championships. Wow, good old Eddie. God. Anyway, it goes on and on. There's books written about this guy. He was just amazing. And he had a heart problem. A heart problem that today would stop any other athlete from continuing to participate in a hard sport like cycling. And he made it. He lived through it. So we got to, like, you know, kind of wonder a little bit about, you know, what our restrictions are from, and maybe, you know, maybe you kind of have to go with how you're feeling. I don't know. I'm not going to encourage anybody to go out and ride their bicycle and then drop dead on the side of the highway. I don't want to see that. But, you know, it's, if it feels right and everything seems good and everything checks out okay, then just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Eddie retired from cycling, and then he began manufacturing Belgian-designed professional race bikes, and which said Merckx on them, which is really cool. He was he's just a classic guy, and he's still around, and that's really cool. And I love the fact that I've actually got a chance to meet him at a bike show once. He didn't speak a lot of English, but it was okay. You know, I was next to the legend, and that was really cool. And I've seen some legendary bicycles, like the bike that he won the world championships on for the mile on the track. And oh my God, the hour record. That's what it was, on the track. And that bike had blood stains running down the seat tube of the bike because he rode himself raw in order to break that record, which he held for a very, very long time. Eddie is Eddie. So that's what it is. Okay, I got to move on to some stuff here because I am going to have to go. We got to go to the results of the Cyclocross Nationals, which were last weekend in Louisville. And we had some local pleasures down there because we did have people who really did well. Big, huge shout out to Abby and Lily Cole. Abby Cole, junior women, age 13 and 14. Abby Cole was first, Lily Cole was second. And they're both from East Granby, Connecticut. And we have had them out in at Mansfield Hollow. Their dad has raced there. They're like local talent, which is really, really cool. In another area here, we had, let's see here, I got a few of them that I had made mention about. Masters Women 60 to 64, Paula Brunetto from West Cornwall, Connecticut, first place in her age group. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And men's masters 65 to 69, Dave Rustico from Plantsville, Connecticut, went back to defend his national jersey title after taking a lot of time off this fall. So he was he had some stuff he had to do. And, you know, he's got a very challenging situation with his son. And so he took a little time off of cycling. He went down hard in a crash in an early race and wasn't feeling up to it. And then at the last minute, guess what? He decided, you know what? I got to go back and defend my jersey. So he went back to defend his jersey in the men's masters 65 to 69, took second place, got the podium. Go, Dave. Dave, you're my hero. You're my hero, man. I can't believe you can do this still. Masters 70 to 74. Yeah. Up there in the age group, right? We're not dead yet, okay? We can still do this sort of thing. Paul Curley, third overall from Taunton, Mass. And in the Masters category, men's category, in the 85 to 89 age group, from Bridgewater, New Jersey, my old friend Joel Sailing. Joe and I worked together for Fuji America back in the day. Long time ago, we worked for Ken Maria at Fuji Bicycles. And I worked there, well, we both did, for about 10 years. And it's really cool. That's where I met Joe. And he's a great guy. He's just a great guy and a great competitor, and he's still at it, and he got first place in the 85 to 89 year old category. In the women's elite, a shout out to Lizzie Gonzalez from Dudley, Massachusetts, who was fifth overall. That's amazing. And then I'm going to go back to our good friend Dave Hildebrand, who I have known for a number of years through my affiliation with the Manchester Cycle Shop in Manchester. He's been a fixture around that place for a really, really long time. He went back to attempt once again to try to come home with a national jersey, and he won the 55 to 59 Masters category. Big shout out to Dave Hildebrand for pulling it off. Really, really cool. He's got it. He finally got his Nationals jersey. I think that's really great. So, and the next closest, I'm thinking, no, I don't have that down here. Men's senior, the UC23, Henry Coote from Manchester, Massachusetts, was first place. And then we go on to, let's see, the women's pro 1-2-3 race. We have a new champion, Vita Lopez de San Romo from Sebastopol, California, 18 years old, won the national championships in the cyclocross. Katie Klaus was second, Raylan Nuss was third, and that's where Lizzie was fifth overall on that one. I don't have the fourth place rider there, unfortunately. The men's open 1-2-3. Go to YouTube, just Google it. Gotta watch it. Watch the highlights from the men's race. It is available just on plain old YouTube, so you don't have to put any money down or a subscription or anything like that. And you gotta watch the highlights from the men's race because it was insane. Andrew Strohmeyer, Eric Bruner, Scott Funston, and Curtis White were all like together for a long time. It really came down to Strohmeyer, Bruner, and Funston at the end. They were back and forth. One was in the lead, then the other was in the lead. It was shouldering, elbowing, all sorts of tight turns, crashes on the barriers, crashes on the turns, and yet they all stayed together. The winning time was 57 minutes and 24 seconds. And it was won by Andrew Strohmeyer. He finally got his national jersey. Eric Bruner was second by 1 second. And Scott Funston was third by 4 seconds. Yeah, tight race, crazy stuff. Curtis White was fourth at 31 seconds back. It was just an incredible race. They were just back and forth, neck and neck the whole time. It was nuts. The women's race had a much bigger separation. There was about a minute and 5 seconds between Vita and Katie. So, and then another 15 seconds down for Raylan. So a little bit tighter in that particular way, but it was just a great thing. It was really, really wonderful. So fun racing to watch. Just fun stuff. Super cool. I had mentioned, let's see, do I still have time for this? I think I do. So anyway, that kind of covers our local talent. We had some really great local talent, and I was really, really psyched to see that. So to see names that I know that were in the finish. So very, very cool. And these are names of people that we also sometimes will see at our local race here, Mansfield Hollow, or from the Project Mayhem Cyclocross Series too. So lots of great cyclocross development here in New England, both Southern New England and Central New England. We have a lot of things going on. And we're sending champions to the Nationals, which is very, very cool. So fun stuff. If you get a chance to watch the highlights, definitely watch the highlights. You can check them out on YouTube. It's really cool and a lot of fun to see. Last week I had talked a little bit about I started to talk about the tariffs. The tariffs and what's going on there, and are we going to be dealing with this in the cycling world or not? You know, there's a lot of talk about a lot of things, and I think that a lot of it is talk, but the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission recommended its 2024 annual report to Congress, eliminating the import threshold exemption, which can allow products like e-bikes and lithium-ion batteries to circumvent the safety standards that have long concerned the industry. So, you know, that's definitely a thing. Goods valued at under $800, the U.S. duty-free with less regulatory oversight, without certificates or compliance, that's no good. That's definitely something that needs to be looked at. So industry veteran Patrick Cunane, who was working for Fuji many, many years ago, has worked with companies that built bikes domestically for importers, spoke out about the minimus in 2018 at a hearing in Washington in front of the Section 301 committee, and he proposed reducing the threshold down to $50. Now he's in favor of it, lowering it down to $10. The shipments that come in unregulated shouldn't be unregulated, and that's really what it comes down to, is there needs to be a point where the quality of the bicycles that are coming into the U.S. is regulated to a point where they're safe and not going to, especially in the e-bike world, burn buildings down. So that is a huge issue. So the tariffs, yeah, we're kind of on a wait and see on this one. And we're going to continue to watch this as things develop. We have a new administration coming in that's very tariff happy. And tariffs aren't everything you think they are, folks. They really aren't. They're going to cost everyone more money. And, you know, the manufacturers are not going to eat that profit. They are going to pass it on to their customers. So it's a tough thing. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people think about that when they hear all the speak out there. But anyway, that's basically it. Coming up events, not a whole heck of a lot. We're pretty much at the end of the cycling season here. There's lots of stuff coming up next year. Of course, there'll be some early. There's an early cross race that is in Haddam, I believe, that our folks out in East Hampton are putting on. So that's coming up very, very soon. But you know, that's next year, 2025. Wow, we're really, really close to the end of the year. So how was your 2024? Did you ride more miles? Did you commute to work or around town? Did you find better fitness? Or did you just enjoy your bike and get out and smell the roses? I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. You got to get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic and dangerous roads and the price of gas, lack of places to safely ride your bicycle. And hey, take that Pedal and Ron challenge. Consider parking your car for one day and ride your bike instead. You might just surprise yourself. The views on this program do not express the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can comment right down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you want to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. Save mine. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!